Good morning. Can y'all hear me? Is it working? Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, this Monday, this fifth day of October. Thank you, Father, that we're all here together. Thank you for each person that's here. Yeah. Thank you, Father, that you've ordained this time. Father, I'm honored and privileged that you've decided to choose me for this. Father, I pray that your words come forth in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Yes. Okay. So with that, I'm just going to start with the word that he gave me for y'all today. All of it is his, is his, but he specifically gave me a word, and I'm going to start with that. He says, "Be secure in me. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Right now, he is stealing plans I have for my people because they have digested the lies he fed them for years. Release. Now is the time to release those lies and speak truth over yourself. It stops now because it has gone through generation after generation. Yes. Let me do the work I want in you so you can have a fullness of freedom like you have never experienced before. Now is the time. Awaken to what I placed inside of you when you were being formed in the womb. No more hindrances shall come upon you. I am God and you are mine. Walk in that truth and stop listening to the enemy's lies of who he wants you to think you are. You know the truth, but you have squashed it. For some of you, it's been pushed down your whole life. No more, no more, no more. Stop going around the mountain of lost identity and step into the realm of life and abundance." So, Dianu, that would have been enough, okay? So that's from him to y'all. So I pray you receive that in the name of Yeshua. There's five questions, and I didn't realize today was October 5th until Mr. Craig read Psalm 5. Well, I think I knew it, but just not really. But there's five questions. I don't want y'all to answer them out loud, but when I sat down to start writing this, I had these questions just start coming out of me, and these were questions that I have asked, and I feel like they're what led me to where I've been able to go this past year, and the freedom that I've experienced. So just let them sink in, and you ask Father these questions. Number one, who do you say I am? Number two, where did I lose sight of who you say I am? Number three, what lies of the enemy have I believed? Number four, what part of your plan have I ignored because of insecurities? What part of my identity did I leave behind because of not seeing who I am in you? I can. Number one, who do you say I am? Number two, where did I lose sight of who you say I am? Number three, what lies of the enemy have I believed? What lies of the enemy have I believed? Number four, what part of your plan have I ignored because of insecurities? What part of your plan have I ignored because of insecurities? Number five, what part of my identity did I leave behind because of not seeing who I am in you? What part of my identity did I leave behind because of not seeing who I am in you? In you. Mm-hmm. Insecurities are holding us back. Insecurities are the lack of confidence, uncertainty, and anxiety about oneself. Fear. Fear and worry. Fear of man. living in torment. Sometimes you don't know you're in torment because you keep it all to yourself and you seem normal and nobody sees it. You don't really realize you were in torment until everything, torment's not there anymore. that causes you to be insecure. That causes the confidence to leave. We're going to start with Psalm 139. I know y'all have all read that before, but I think it goes into the intimacy of who we are, our identity, and the fact that he's the only one that truly knows everything. There's no husband or wife that can know you. There's no mother or father that can know a child more than the Father knows us. So Psalm 139, we'll just start at the top. Is everybody there? Okay. Yahweh, you have probed me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand up. You discern my inclinations from afar. You scrutinize my daily activities. You are so familiar with all my ways that before I speak even a word, Yahweh, you know all about it already. You have hemmed me in both behind and in front and laid your hand on me. Such wonderful knowledge is beyond me, far too high for me to reach. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, you are there. If I fly away with the wings of the dawn and land beyond the sea, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. If I say, let darkness surround me, let the light around me be night, even darkness like this is not too dark for you. Rather, night is as clear as day. Darkness and light are the same. For you fashioned my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made, wonderfully. Your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo, but in your book all my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. God, how I prize your thoughts. How many of them there are. For if I count them, there are more than grains of sand. If I finish the count, I am still with you. God, if only you would kill off the wicked. Men of blood, get away from me. They invoke your name for their crafty schemes. Yes, your enemies misuse it. Yahweh, how I hate those who hate you. I feel such disgust with those who defy you. I hate them with unlimited hatred. They have become my enemies too. Examine me, Yahweh, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is in me any hurtful way, and lead me along the eternal way. This is a chapter that he's taken me to many times because of reminding me of how well he knows me. You know, that we can keep things from each other. We can, you know, and that's when the depression, the loneliness, the worries and the fear, that's when all that comes in. We should talk to each other. But in addition to that, he knows everything. before you even tell him. But he wants us to tell him what we're insecure about. What are we not confident about? What are we worried about? What are we fearful about? So that that deliverance can come, so that he can help us. He was really speaking to me because I just really started to feel I wasn't doing everything he called me to do. I knew there was more to it. So this has been like almost a year long thing. It started back in, I guess, January or so, just really feeling like there was more. It's not about my job. It's not about, who I end up marrying. It's not about my family. It's not about all those things. I knew he had something more. And so in that seeking, I started realizing that I was letting fear of what people might say or how I might look or whatever else it might have been keep me from doing. Fear of failure, that was a big thing for me too. Was there jobs that I was not going after? Was there relationships that I had let go of because of being insecure? And so these are questions too that I think all of y'all can seek him on. There's dreams, desires, are there things that we let go because we were just like, we can't do it. We're not good enough, or we don't have the funds. Abba, he's our provision. He's our protection. And I think a lot of it, too, is rejections from past hurts making decisions for us. For me, when I thought back on things, there wasn't anything anybody ever said to me. I just flat out believed the lies the enemy told me. I'm 37, so that's a long time. I think a lot of, when you think about that, you've believed lies for roughly 30 years. Yeah. So, that's what I feel like he really wants to get across today, is to stop believing the lies of the enemy. So whatever you know the truth. So if you don't know the truth, then you need to have more of a relationship with him, getting in the word, because that's where the truth comes from. And for us to be able to go out to help those others, we've got to be able to see what lies are we holding on to, because you can't recognize it in others until you've recognized it in yourself. So let's go to Isaiah 50. I did like Mr. Craig. I didn't mark it so that I could get there with you. Alright, so we'll go to Isaiah 50, verse 4. Adonai Elohim has given me the ability to speak as a man well taught, so that I, with my words, know how to sustain the weary. Each morning he awakens my ear to hear, like those who are taught. Adonai Elohim has opened my ear, and I neither rebelled nor turned away. I offered my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting, for Adonai Elohim will help. This is why no insult can wound me. This is why I have set my face like flint, knowing I will not be put to shame. My vindicator is close by. Let whoever dares to accuse me appear with me in court. Let whoever has a case against me step forward. Look, if Adonai Elohim helps me, who will dare to condemn me? Man. Here they are all falling apart like old moth-eaten clothes. Who among you fears Yahweh? Who obeys what his servant says? Even when he walks in the dark without any light, he will trust in Yahweh's reputation and rely on his God. But all of you who are lighting fires and arming yourselves with firebrands, go. Walk in the flame of your own fire, among the firebrands you lit. From my hands this fate awaits you. You will lie down in torment. So it's a choice. Are you lying in torment and walking in the truth? Or walking in the truth of who God says you are and says what he says about you? There is no insult that can wound me. So if you walk in that and let things go, because people's words are going to be people's words. Okay, there's always going to be naysayers, especially when you start walking in the light. There's naysayers. So you have to be guarded. You have to be able to cast down any negative word people say. And sometimes those negative words come from people that you truly love, and they don't even realize what they're saying. But you have that choice to say whether or not you're going to take in and let it soak into you what that person's just said to you, or you can just say, Father, you are greater, and I know what you have spoken to me, and move on. That's the setting your face like flint. That's the not being moved by what is said and seeing what you see in your physical eyes, because your physical eyes lie to you all the time. So maybe we should just all do away with our mirrors, and it would be a lot better if we just didn't, you know. So, but he, Yahweh, he chased me down earlier this year so that I could have the freedom. And today he wants y'all to have that same freedom, because I was verse 11 of this. I was had a lot of fear, worry. I was trying to control every situation, and I didn't realize how much I was being tormented in the midst of all of it. You know, I was just not fulfilling everything. And I can tell you the freedom that I feel just from stepping out and taking just those first steps, always the hardest, taking that one little step into whatever I knew that he was telling me to do. That's when the freedom started flowing through. It was almost like I got new blood. You know, I had creativity was there that wasn't there before. My foundation felt firmer. I felt more secure. And speaking of secure, I was looking at a word the other day, and insecurity, you know, it's one word, I-N-S-E-C-U-R-I-T-Y. But you can separate it. In security, right? And when I saw it written that way, it just did something to me. We are supposed to be insecure with him, right? Two words, not one word. It's funny how it can make that big of a difference. But let's read on into Isaiah 51, verse 1. Listen to me, you pursuers of justice, you who seek Yahweh. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were dug. Consider Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who gave birth to you. In that I called him when he was only one person, then blessed him and made him many. For Yahweh will comfort Zion, will comfort all her ruined places, will make her desert like Eden, her Arva like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness will be there, thanksgiving and the sound of music. So, you know, we've been talking about the joy, and the joy is not going to come in when you're being tormented. And you've got to make that decision to release. I can't remember if it was the ladies meeting last night, maybe. But we've got to be the ones. We have something to do. We can't lay here and expect God to just do it all. We have a responsibility to do as well. So if you want that freedom, you have to fight for it. You have to fight to get it to come through. And once that comes, once you know who you are in Yeshua, people will start being drawn to you because they see that freedom in you that they want. It's the light, but it's also the freedom. And I think it's a deeper calling. You'll feel present. And I remember used to be places and just sitting there like, am I even here? You know, just kind of like an out of body experience, I understand. I have a clear mind. You're carefree. You're more joyful. There's no hindrances of doubt, fear, and insecurity. You will start to be able to take those thoughts captives. But I'll tell you, if you do not, y'all know the verse. Mom knows it. She says it all the time. If they are cast away, you let them come back, though they come back with seven more, whatever that is. So if you don't continue to take the thoughts captive, because there's always going to be thoughts that keep coming in just because you get your freedom. I still struggle with just yesterday. I was struggling with something and I had to say, I'm not going to listen. So you have to continue to do that and continue to move forward, because otherwise you're going to be back where you were and possibly worse. So encouragement, once you're there, you can encourage others. And I believe that that's what he wants us to do, because he wants us to be free, because we each have that calling for something that he wants to do for us. Wants us to do for him, to give glory to his name here. And think about Gates of Zion. You're part of this ministry. So what is it you're supposed to be doing here that you've not done? You know, y'all aren't just supposed to all be here to sit and listen. You know, there's responsibilities we're all supposed to do. And so if we are all operating as the one body that we're supposed to be, I can't even imagine what Abba would do. But he can't show you those things till you're free. So if there's something that's holding you back, my prayer today, if nothing else, is that you will seek him and let him show you. But you have to be true. It's going to hurt. You know, he's going to show you things that maybe you don't want to see. But I believe that in that will come the freedom. You might have more tears and pain, but it won't outweigh the joy that's going to come. The joy comes in the morning. There was this devotional that I wanted to read this morning, and I'll wrap it up. I'm not sure what time it is, but it is from Come Away My Beloved. I know some of you ladies have this one, but when I opened it up, it just kind of confirmed where I think we need to go next. It's called Check Your Course, and it's from the verse that she uses, Mark 4:37-39. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. They awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And this is, for y'all who aren't familiar, the Come Away My Beloved is written as though it's Yeshua writing, Yahweh writing. There is never a day, there is never an hour, there is never a moment when you are outside my thoughts. As David said, the Lord thinks upon me. And you can say, you can say this as surely as David could. You are no less dear to my heart, and I am equally concerned for you. Do not take the path of folly, for my heart goes with you wherever you go, and I grieve over you when you are turned aside. You may not be going in the opposite direction. You may even be on a road that lies quite parallel with the one I would have you travel. But to be almost in the perfect will of God is to miss it completely. To be almost in the perfect will of God is to miss it completely. As the scripture says, other little boats were also with him, but Jesus was in only one. Yeshua, check your course, chart it by my word, and hold to it with rigid determination, and do not be led aside by the other little boats. Yes. Be sure you are in the boat with him if you hope to make it safe to shore in spite of the storms, for there will be storms, but you will be safe if you abide close with me. And we talked about that at the ladies' meeting yesterday. But to be almost in the perfect will of God is to miss it completely. So close enough is not enough. So don't ever settle. You know, you shouldn't settle for a spouse. You shouldn't settle for your work for Yahweh, especially. So, amen. I do have one more song, and this was the other thing that confirmed this for me. So the last word of this devotional said, "You will be safe if you abide close to me." So the name of this song is called "Abide in Me," and Joey's taking over.
Thank you. Joey.
Can I say something real quick?